You go to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Okay. Many times, Christians and maybe people who know a little bit about God's word assume that, you know, the things of God will just come to them. Like, you know, if I just wait long enough, or if I just hang around long enough, or if I do something just long enough, eventually the things of God are just going to come to me, right? And, you know, people say it in different ways, you know, and even the world says it, you know, oh, everything's going to be okay. Everything's all right. You know, everything, it'll just be fine. And there's absolutely no guarantee of that, right, in God's word. So what I want to look at today was about believing action. And we'll start in Deuteronomy chapter 20 to get a little bit of a background. It says here in verse 1, when thou goest out to battle, this is, you know, God talking specifically about a situation that Israel was in, against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. The Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when you are come nigh unto the battle, that the priests shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. Now, interesting, right? God says to them, don't be afraid. Then he says, the priest is going to tell you, don't be afraid, don't tremble, and don't be terrified of them. Right? Four times, right? Basically the same thing, right? So all they had to do in this situation was what? Don't be afraid. Now, and it says verse 4, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. You see, God always tells his people what their responsibility is, right? You know, and now if God gives you a responsibility, gives me a responsibility in his word, by his word, and tells me, here is what I need you to do, right? Now, if I don't do what God asks me to do, why would I ever expect him to do what he said he's going to do? Right? Now, and when we look at this today, I don't want you to forget. I put big bold letters to myself, my notes here, but I don't want you to forget about God's mercy and grace. There are many, many times that God will do above and beyond, way above and beyond, because he remembereth our frame, remembers that we are dust, and God goes over and beyond. You see with Israel, like, you know, a lot of times you read the record and you go, okay, you know, once, maybe, okay, twice the God, they reject God, maybe three, maybe four, how about 10 times, right? You know, like, God is very, very forgiving, very gracious, and very merciful. So don't forget that. But what we're going to look at today is that, you know, when God's word is very clear when it says, look, you do this, and I will do this, right? So God told them, don't be afraid. Told them four times, right? Don't be afraid, right? And God will fight for you. Look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. A scripture that we all know, very familiar. Verse 3. It says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Right. So God promises that he will keep a man in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, and stayed in the sense that he trusts in him. Not just thinking about him, but in the sense that he trusts in him. Now, if I don't, or the man talking about here doesn't stay his mind on God and trust in God, there is no guarantee that the man will be in peace. None whatsoever. It just isn't just going to happen after a period of time, right? God says, you want perfect peace? Stay your mind on me, right? You trust me, right? And if I don't trust him, I can't expect perfect peace from God, right? Like, he may bless me. Yeah, you know, remember, grace and mercy, above and beyond. Yeah, God will bless us. But when God gives you promises and he says, look, this is a promise to you, we can believe that promise. We can act on that promise, and then we can expect the results. That's the other side of this. Once we do what the word says for us to do very clearly, we can fully expect him to do what he's going to do, right? That is, like, his part of the bargain is completely, completely certain and certified, right? Our part, not so much, right, all the time, right? Like, the weaker person in that partnership is always going to be us, right? Certainly. It's not like God's, oh, yeah, you did what you said you were going to do. I just couldn't come through what I said I was going to do. God never says that. Doesn't happen, right? Never. Look at Proverbs 3. We're close to there. Psalms, Proverbs. Chapter 3.
Proverbs.
Proverbs. Did you say problems? Proverbs. Problems 3. That's my book. Problems. This is God's book, is wisdom. Proverbs 3. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, if I choose in the situation that I'm confronted with to say, well, you know what, I like my understanding, you know, and I don't want to acknowledge God here, I should not expect God to direct me any way whatsoever, right? Like, if I think that my way is already set and I know exactly what I'm doing, I don't need help, well, why would I expect God to direct my ways? He says, you trust me, right? And don't lean on to your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your paths, right? Now, if we do that, if we do acknowledge him, God, I need your help, you know, I'm trusting you, you can be sure and certain that he will direct your path, right? He promises it. See, if we've acted on the promise, you know, the reason I started with Deuteronomy, because what he asked them to do in that situation was very simple, right? It wasn't that hard what he asked them to do. He said, don't be afraid. I'll fight the battle. You just, all I'm asking you to do is don't be afraid, right? Here he says, all I'm asking you to just trust me. Put aside your wisdom and the things you've figured out, right? And lean on to that, but trust me, and I will direct your path. And so, if I choose to do part of it, I can't expect the result. I can't, right? You know, either we wholeheartedly, right, trust him and do what his word says. And that's why it's action. It's not like, well, I'm going to try it, but just in case I got this backup plan, I'm not trusting it. You know, that's not trust, right? Look at Malachi chapter 3. The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. Verse 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, if man doesn't do what the word of God says for him to do, right? Can he guarantee that the windows of heaven will be opened, that the devourer will be rebuked, and that he will not just, can he expect that, right? You know, no, of course not, right? You know, again, never forget God's mercy, his grace, his protection, his blessing above and beyond man's inability to always do what God asked him to do. Don't ever forget that when I'm saying this. But God says, look, you do this, right? And I guarantee this, right? That's what he says. And God says here, this is in the context of tithing, giving and receiving. You know, if I tithe, God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I can expect his protection. No question. Right? I can expect the windows of heaven to be opened. And I shall look for that. I shall not settle for less than that. Right? Because he promised that. And that's on the strong side of the partnership. Right? He's the one who always comes through. Right? All right, so I can expect the blessing. I can expect the windows to be open. I can expect fruit of your ground not to be destroyed, vine not to cast her fruit, and all the wonderful blessings that are associated with, again, my part, simple. But his part, huge and, you know, far-reaching. But if I don't do my part, I can't go to him honestly and say, well, God, how come you didn't, well, you know, that's just dishonest, right? Let's look at this in the New Testament too. 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says pretty much the same thing. Because in the New Testament, God took giving and receiving and opened it up even bigger than in the Old Testament, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. This is, you know, completely open-ended now, right? It's got nothing to do with, I mean, the tithe is something that's been there ever since Abraham, right? And then went through, even before the law, right, was instituted into the law. It was never really officially part, because it was there before the law, and it's far-reaching. It's an immutable principle. But God opened it up even further in the New Testament. He says, just sow whatever you sow, whatever you sow. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. So if I sow sparingly, I can expect sparing reaping. Is that a word? And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Not, oh, I gotta give. If I do that, like God's telling me very specifically here what he wants me to do, right? He says, when you give, you don't give grudgingly. So if I give grudgingly, have I done my part? No. It says, not of necessity. Someone's forcing you to give it. No, you got to give. You know, if I do it that way, have I done my part? No, I have not. Right? So if I don't do my part, what the Word of God says, I can't expect him to do his part. Right? That's not honest. Life doesn't work that way. The old saying of everything will be fine, you know, or they say today, it's all good. That's just crap, right? You know? It's not. It's what does the Word say, right? You do what the Word says, and you can expect God to do what he says. If you don't do it, well, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So when I give, my part is to give cheerfully. Israel's part, when they were attacked, was to not be afraid, right? Their part was to tithe, right? Their part was to trust him, to stay their minds on him. And then God's part, you know, the bigger part, was all the blessings, the protection, him fighting their battles for them, windows of heaven, all the wonderful blessings that come with it. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace, remember we talked about that, all grace abound toward you. And this here is in the category of giving and receiving, so all blessings that come back to you as a result. Abound toward you, abound, all grace, abound. You see, God's part is always so much bigger, right, than our part. Abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every, all, every abound grace. You see how God's part is so much bigger, right? What he does. As it is written, verse 9, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Like the words in here, there's so many, which causeth through us thanksgivings to God. You see, when you have a cob of corn, like, you know, you take a single, I mean, I look at this every year and I get amazed by this. You get a cob of corn, you take one seed off that cob of corn, right? And you plant that thing, what do you get? You get a whole stalk with many cobs of corn on it. Hundreds, which will lead to hundreds more stalks of corn, not just single seeds, right? So the analogy God uses here to show you, who is the one that ministers seed to the sower? It's God, right? So the seed goes in the ground. What do you get? You don't just get another seed back, right? you get, I mean, it's almost beyond being able to measure the bounty that comes back. That's the example God uses here. So when I give, you know, not sparingly, but if I give bountifully and I do it with a cheerful, not a grudging, of necessity heart, I can expect many stalks of corn. I can expect a bountiful supply. And I shouldn't be settle for any less. Because God said that. That's what God said. We did not say that. All I got to do is my part, right? But if I don't do my part, you know, the rest is not assured at all, right? Like, it's just life isn't that way, right? It's not everything will be all right. James chapter 4. Hebrews, James chapter 4. Did I say James? Oh, that's fine, that's fine. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Right? If I choose to not resist the devil, right? My choice, right? Because isn't this a command to us? If I choose to not do what the Word of God says when it comes concerning the devil, and the Word is very clear on what it says concerning the adversary, right? There's some great scriptures about, you know, when you pass by the way of evil, don't look at it, turn around, and walk away. Don't even think about it, right? If I choose to say, well, you know, maybe I'm interested in this, and maybe I'll look at this a little bit, you know, like the other night they had on a CBC show late at night, George Strombolopoulos guy there, you know, the guy with the long name here, right? His wonderful hour-long show on how to communicate with the dead, okay? No joke, right? An hour-long expert on how to communicate with... Now, if I say, well, you know, let's try this, you know, like if I... See, the Word of God is very clear to me, what it says. Resist the devil. It doesn't say think about him, toy with him, question, you know, it doesn't say... It says resist, right? For me to resist, walk away, and draw nigh to God, right? Now, if I don't do my part... Why would God honor His part when He's asked me, "You do this," you know, and I'll do this. Right? Again, not God's mercy and grace notwithstanding. Right, Philippians chapter 4. And there was a lot today, boy. The world is rampant on toying with the adversary and questioning and thinking about the things that He makes available. Because there's a lot, you know. We tend to look at the Focus on the Family reviews of movies before we go see them, watch them. You know, they do a pretty good job of reviewing films, right? And there's just a film out recently called, it's about an alien, right? Comes to Earth and all. And then when you watch the trailer, they make it seem really fun to watch and interesting. You know, and I read the Focus on the Family review of this film, and they gave you some really neat quotes in there about... You know, him, the alien saying things like, oh, religion is fine, it's only the monotheistic ones that are a problem, right? Yeah, no joke. Okay, this is, they're not going to show you that on the trailer, right?
Right.
No. And then they have a couple, apparently, who are a Christian couple, who the alien talks out of being Christians anymore because their God isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing. Like, this is the kind of stuff, right, they're pawning off regularly, right, on the public, right? I don't want to toy with that. I don't want to even consider that stuff, right? Otherwise, I'm not doing my part. You know, this is my application of that to my life. But you know, I think there are a lot of opportunities in life to resist the devil, and there are a lot of opportunities to not resist him, to consider and question, maybe, you know, and think about. And let's just choose to resist. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, if faced with a situation for anxiety or mental distraction. You know, it happens once a year or so, right? You know, if you're faced with that opportunity for, and I would like the peace of God, right, to keep my heart and mind, yet I choose not to pray, right? I shouldn't expect the peace of God to keep my heart and mind. Because God says, you're about to be anxious. Instead of being anxious, Raj, instead of being, you know, all upset and worrying about things, you come and pray to me. You pray to me. You know, when Jesus Christ had to pick the 12 apostles, what did he do? He prayed all night, right? He needed answers. He needed understanding. He prayed all night, and then he could expect God to answer his prayer. He could expect that. He did what the Word of God told him to do, right? So if I get anxious, and I just flip off a 3-second speaking in tongues, say, it'll be all right, everything will be fine, right? Have I done what his Word says? Have I really sought him, gone to him with trust, and looked for an answer? Or am I looking for the religious good feeling of having prayed for 3 seconds and then everything be fine, right? I don't know. I mean, it doesn't say you can't believe God in 3 seconds. I'm not saying that. It's absolutely possible, right? But what I'm saying is putting effort towards what God has asked us to do, right? And does it take effort to pray? Absolutely, right? If prayer happens just by itself, we have to talk, okay? Right? 1 Corinthians 14. You know, believing, we talk about believing as action, and, well, the actions are quite simple, right? Like, they're not complicated actions, right? Certainly, figuring out some way of engineering the parting of the Red Sea would be a lot harder than just lifting your arm, right? Right? And trusting. That would be a lot harder, right? So the actions aren't, it's just, if we don't even do the simple actions God asks us to do, we shouldn't expect the amazing results that his word promises, right? 1 Corinthians 14:4, he that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, and he that doesn't speak in a tongue doesn't edify himself. Right? So if I want to grow spiritually and I choose not to speak in tongues regularly or to study God's word regularly, which also helps you grow, right? If I choose not to do that, I shouldn't expect spiritual growth in my life. I shouldn't. In fact, it ain't going to happen, right? Because the Word of God says this is what he would like us to do. Right? It's not, now, how difficult is it to pray to him, to speak in tongues, to read? It's not hard, is it? Right? But I can't expect the results of it if I don't do what he asks me to do. Right? Again, let's go to Romans chapter 10, please. So if I want to be built up spiritually, if I want to get edified, if I want to grow, I have to speak in tongues. Or I get to speak in tongues. Romans 10, 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right. Again, a very, very simple thing God asks us to do. If I need to have more believing in my heart and in my life, right? Very simple thing for me to do. And he lays it out there. Look, you're not going to be able to, no one's going to hear if no one preaches. No one's going to, you know, how can you even believe if you haven't heard anything, right? I mean, the logic is very simple here. So if I don't read God's word, if I don't take the opportunity to maybe memorize it, meditate on it, think about it, whatever I need to do in my life, faith isn't just going to show up someday, right? It's just not going to happen, right? Because the Word of God tells me how. And if I don't do what He tells me to do, why would I expect a year from now to be able to believe God bigger than I do today? I can't expect that because I haven't done what He told me to do, right? Anyway, what He tells me is very simple, right? What does it say? By hearing by the Word of God, right? So if I don't make the opportunity in my life to hear God's Word, to read it, think about it, meditate, memorize, whatever it takes to put more of that up here, I certainly will get the opportunity to put other things in here from what's around me that I don't necessarily, I know for a fact, will not help me get the believing that I want in my life, right? Guaranteed, and you're going to get lots of that stuff, right? Right. Look at Psalm 1. The Old Testament version of that same scripture. I think, anyway. Psalm 1. It says here, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Now, it starts off by talking about this man walking not in the counsel of the ungodly. "Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now, he's talking about walking, standing, sitting, things that this man is not doing, okay? "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Right. You see, why did this man not walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Why did he not stand in the way of sinners? Why did he not sit in the seat of the scornful? Because he meditated in the law of the Lord, right? As you meditate and put the Word of God in your mind, right, you get believing in your heart, you get believing in your life, and as a result, the actions you carry out in your life are a result of that believing you have received by meditating on God's Word. Because this man meditated on God's Word, the result is he's not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. His actions are going to follow what he is thinking. It's reversed here. But you see, his actions were following what his day-by-day activity was, which is meditating in God's Word, right? And the result, so the first result was that because he meditated in the law of the Lord, the result was he doesn't end up sitting in the counsel of the ungodly and listening to all that stuff and walking and sitting with these guys. And the next result is verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Right? Whatsoever. Why? Because this man believes God. See, the only guarantee of everything in your life prospering is if we trust in God, right? There's no other guarantee. There is a guarantee when we trust God, right? The other saying of, well, it'll be all right, it'll be fine, don't worry about it, that's not God, right? You know, you can't say that to people who don't believe in God and never make Jesus their Lord. Is everything going to be all right? I don't think so, right? Right? No. So, you know, God's Word is very clear. He says, you know, here's your part, folks, right? Here's your part, Rod. You do this, and I'll do this. You don't do this, no guarantee that God's going to do what He said, right? Why would He? Again, mercy and grace. James chapter 1. We'll close there, please. See, you can read God's Word, and you can hold Him to His Word. When God says something in His Word, you can say, God, I'm going to hold you to that. That's why He encouraged us to go to His Word all the time. Right. James chapter 1. Verse 17. Every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Right? God is constant, consistent, and if you study all the astronomical symbolism in this verse, it talks about the shadow the moon makes on the earth, and you know that there's no variableness, that shadow of trust, the shadow of turning is. And now God is constant. "Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Good advice on any day. Right? hearing God's word, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, instead of all that, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. That word that is implanted within us, which is able to save your souls. But, you know, not just hearing it, it says, God exhorts, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, right? Deceiving your own selves. One part for us is to hear the word. Before we even get a chance to do it, we can't possibly do it if we don't hear it, right? But when we hear it, not just hearers only, but doers, deceiving your own selves. For he, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, very important, is he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Right. Weymouth translates this in a nice way. I just wrote it down here. It makes it a little bit clearer for me anyway. He says, for if anyone listens but does not obey, he's like a man who carefully looks at his own face in a mirror. Although he has looked carefully at himself, he goes away and has immediately forgotten the sort of man he is. But he who looks closely into the perfect law, the law of freedom, and continues looking, he being not a hearer who forgets, but an obedient doer, will as a result of his obedience be blessed. Right, so that whole idea of a man looking in a mirror kind of looks at it, runs away, forgets what it, but God says, on the other hand, he who keeps looking, not at himself, right, but the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continues in it, that man is blessed in his deed. Sounds just like Psalms, right? The man that meditated day and night in God's word. It sounds just like all the other records where it says, God says, you do this, and I will do this, right? You know, instead of us falling prey to the world's thinking of, you know, everything will be fine, everything's okay, don't worry about it, you know, why not be certain in life, right, and act, you know, and again, the actions we looked at that God's word tells us are so simple, you know, pray, just trust me, don't be afraid, speak in tongues, go to my word, hear my, I mean, you know, if we're looking for other actions to do, right, there aren't any. He doesn't say to jump up and down and, you know, run around the house 30 times a day. They're simple actions. But if I don't even do the simple actions in my life, right, I shouldn't expect to see the results that God's word certainly promises, right? Because, again, he is the more, you know, certainly, and that's the figure of speech, right? He's definitely the more reliable partner in this process. And that's the figure of speech saying, you know, gross exaggeration, because he's more than reliable, right? So, you know, let's act on God's word. Let's not forget to act on it. Let's not just be hearers. Let's act consistently on it. And then also look for what he promises the results will be. And don't settle for any less. Keep acting until you get the results that God has promised, right? So that's a little bit on action, the believing action, right, that we should have in our lives.